Shall we turn now in our Bibles to Mark chapter 13, just three verses today, and urge you to look back and follow the previous verses to get the context. But we're working our way through Mark chapter 13. We'll read these three verses together. Let's begin. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "Look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand." That's Mark chapter 13, verses 21 through 23. Deceivers were inside and outside the church. Beloved in the Lord, the destruction of Jerusalem was certain. God would destroy Jerusalem because the Jews killed his prophets from Abel to Zechariah. And then they prevented others from coming into the kingdom. And then they tried to kill Jesus, the Son of God, and eventually did kill him. And then they planned to kill Christians. The Lord warned them that before Jerusalem was destroyed, the Jews would come after them and severely persecute them. And in all of this, the Jews would not repent. So the destruction of Jerusalem was certain. But in order to save his people when Jerusalem would be destroyed, the Lord told them to leave when they saw the abomination which causes desolation. The abomination which causes desolation, as we learned last week, was the idolatrous thing the Romans would set up in and around the temple, like the Babylonians did before, like the Greeks did before under Antiochus Epiphanes. The Romans would do the same thing. The Jews had become so corrupt that the temple was going to be left desolate. That was what God permitted. But there was another sign that clearly marked impending destruction of the Jews in Jerusalem. The Lord gave them many signs so they would know for sure. And he said many would claim to be Christ and would try to lure Christians to follow them. Remember, the Lord will said to them, when you see this, you need to leave Jerusalem. But these false Christs will say to them, come here, come there, as we will see in our text today. Our headings are three: do not believe the deceivers. Second, do not believe the deceivers, even if they do wonders, signs and wonders, miracles. And third, do not believe the deceivers, for I'm giving you advance warning of them. Our goals are that you will learn to be on guard against deceivers who pretend to speak God's words and take you away from following the Lord. That you will rebuke those deceivers and that instead you will faithfully do God's work by obeying his word. First, do not believe the deceivers. Jesus said, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. Jesus declared that many would give false reports to Christians about Christ's presence in order to deceive them. See, Satan knew that Christians love Christ, and they would want to be where he was. So to say Jesus is here, the natural tendency is, I want to be where Jesus is. And surely they were going to go to a place of safety with other Christians. That's why Christians gather together. You want to be there to encourage each other, to worship the Lord together. And it's also true that Jesus would go off into these quiet places to pray. He would sneak off from the rest of them so he could spend time with his heavenly Father. So hearing that Jesus is here or there, the tendency is to want to believe it. Of course, they should know Jesus went back into heaven, and therefore he is not here on earth, not in his bodily form. He is here in his divinity, but not in his humanity. So they should have known that he would, that it was not Jesus they were being lured to. But this thought, this desire to be with other people, the desire to be where Jesus is, was very strong. So Jesus warned them about this. Now, were there really reports of people trying to fool Christians before the destruction of Jerusalem? Fact is, there were many reports, and there were many who tried to deceive Christians. The scriptures are always correct. The Bible confirmed this many, many times. Now, let's look at our sermon notes. Now, we have a bunch of scriptures to look at, but the first one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, said together, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." So these people will be doing just like their father the devil does. They will pretend to be Christ. They wouldn't go and say, "I'm the devil, come follow me." The devil will say, "I'm Christ, come follow me." Acts chapter 20, verse 29, the Apostle Paul, as he was preparing to go to Rome, eventually he would die, well, to Jerusalem first and then Rome, he spoke to the Ephesians elders and he said to them together, verse 29 and 30, let's begin, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Now, what's the worst kind of wolves? The one that come in sheep's clothing. Those are the ones who pretend to be nice and say, "Come, follow me. I believe in Jesus." And of course, Paul was not referring to the end of the world. As he said, these are things that will happen after my departure. Well, there's no church there in Ephesus. And it would make no sense for him to say, "This is the end of the world. I'm speaking to the end of the world, but I'm telling you this." Something that will happen 2,000 years later. No, he was saying, "Soon after my departure, watch out. These people are going to come and cause trouble within the church." This happened before Jerusalem fell. Now, there are also historical records that confirm that there were many people claiming to be Christ, trying to draw Christians to follow them. Historian Josephus wrote concerning this, and I'm reading now from the notes, "A false prophet was the reason for the Jews' destruction. He made a public proclamation in the city that God commanded them, all the people, to get upon the temple, and there they would receive miraculous signs of their deliverance. Now there were then a large number of false prophets bribed by the tyrants to tell the people that they should wait for deliverance from God." So even the historians were recording all these people who claimed to be Christ saying, "Go up to Jerusalem." What did Jesus tell the Christians? "Flee Jerusalem when you see this terrible thing coming. This place is wicked. I'm going to destroy it." And what do the false prophets say? "Come to Jerusalem. Come to the temple." Exact opposite. Jerome quoted Simon Magus as saying, "I am the Word of God." That's the title for Jesus. "I am Christ. I am the Comforter. I'm the Holy Spirit. I am Almighty," referring to the Father. "I am all there is of God." These were famous people. That's what they were saying. Irenaeus, one of the church fathers, confirmed this and added that Simon claimed to be the creator of angels, trying to get people to follow him. Dositheus, according to historian Alexander Keith, pretended that he was the lawgiver that was prophesied of by Moses. Who was the lawgiver? Jesus Christ. You can read about that, the prophecy of Jacob when he was speaking to his sons. He spoke of the lawgiver that will come from Judah. And he claimed to be Jesus, the Christ. So there are biblical records of people claiming to be Christ. There are historical records of many people claiming to be Christ. And in another account, Luke warned Christians not to go after these false teachers because there were many. Look at what he said in Luke chapter 17, verse 23, together. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. There will be these people. Multiple people are saying there'll be many false Christs who will try to lure you away from following the Lord. So, first, let's consider the lessons. The reality is, the Lord said, well, first thing, do not believe these deceivers. First lesson. There are many false teachers who tell people to stick with them in their false churches. But when you see false teachers dominating the church, and you realize that the church is in danger, and you realize that you can't fix the problem, because that's your first attempt, is to try to fix the problem, then you need to flee those churches and those pastors. You need to flee those churches and those pastors. Don't feel an obligation to the church. Feel an obligation to the Lord of the church, Christ. And if the church fails to serve the one who is her Lord, you need to move away from that church. Let me give you an example. This week I learned of a church that made the news because they said they're going to focus on the homosexual agenda. And their church building will be built jointly with a brewery where they're going to be making beer. And the goal of this church is that most of their money that they make was going to go towards Planned Parenthood that kills hundreds of thousands of children every year. Big story, made international news. Church is going to give money towards the killing of children, hundreds of thousands of children every year. Now, not all churches are that bad. But there are other ways in which preachers can be very damning to the church. We live at a time when we're told to imitate other people. That's evangelism. Do unto others as you would have them do to you, as if that's the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is repent and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the gospel. So if you go to churches and see people, you start hearing about imitating and doing good social work and all of that. Those things in and of themselves may not be bad, but make no mistake, that's fooling people. Those church members are just as lost as those who attend a gay church. They may sing good songs. They may oppose perversion, but they'll go to hell just as anyone else who does not trust in Jesus Christ for his salvation. Second, based on that, remember, be careful that you don't love famous preachers more than you love Jesus. See, that's how you fall into trouble. If you love the preacher more than you love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus more, you will listen to what the preacher says and say, is he saying what Christ said? Is he saying what Christ said? Because if he isn't, he will pull you away from Jesus. And third lesson is this. Christ is in heaven, in his humanity, but he is everywhere present on earth. You go to him when you want comfort. You can talk to him when you're at home. You can talk to him while you're driving on the road. You can talk to him when you're shopping at Walmart and you're waiting in those long lines. He is there all the time with you. You don't need to run someplace to see him. He is there with you. And then he meets specially with his people every Sunday. That's the privilege you have. But there's a second problem. Jesus said, don't believe them. But Jesus said, don't believe them, even if they do miracles. Because when you see miracles, you tend to say, wow, they must really be true and good. Forget that the devil is permitted to do miracles sometimes. Remember in the time of Pharaoh, how his magicians did miracles as well. He says, don't be fooled by the miracles that they do. Verse 22. So some false messiahs and false prophets will be armed with miracles to try to deceive believers into following them. Now, believers, of course, know that miracles were given to confirm the truth of what Jesus said. And they knew that false prophets that were speaking contrary to what Jesus said, they had no business listening to them or following them. But you know, when you have suffering, when you have a difficult life, it's very easy to forget the words of Jesus. And you hear this man is doing miracles over there, and he says, I'm the Christ. It's very easy to lose sight and to follow them. Suffering makes people make bad choices. Suffering can cause, and has in the past, many girls, when there are struggles or fight or strife in the home, many young girls have run off and married someone who was bad. Why? Because there's struggles in the home. Logically, they will say, no, I shouldn't go and marry someone who's bad. But they do it because they think it'll be better than what I have at home. And that's why Jesus is warning them, don't be fooled by the miracles they do. They might look like they'll be a comfort to you. Like today, someone will say, come here, you come to this church, you'll get rich. You'll get business contacts. Be warned. Scriptures confirm that men would claim to be Christ and attempt to do miracles to lure Christians. So we have the scriptures confessing this. And of course, these things would take place just before Jerusalem was destroyed. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Together, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You can see from the very things that the Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy as he pastored that church in Ephesus were things that were common to that culture that you find many times in Scripture. Today, most people don't seem to have any religious reasons that you shouldn't eat anything. They might argue health reasons. But this was something that was referring to that particular time, common to that time. And the latter times, of course, is highlighted for us. The Apostle Peter says, you are seeing today what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, saying, in the latter times or in the last days, which began then. So don't be fooled by the term latter times. But what these people would do would be, will come up with all kinds of weird things. And they will lure you in and they'll tell you you shouldn't get married and don't eat certain foods. Of course, if the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and he's saying, these things are going to happen to you, how could these things logically apply 2,000 years later? We know this was referring to the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. Though we can learn the principles here, and that's what I'm doing in this text, showing you that you ought not to be deceived by people who talk nicely and who do fancy things, that you're not lured by them. That's the principle. These things are not reflective of what happens at the end of the world. These things were, and they may happen, but these are specifically designed to speak of what would happen when Jerusalem was destroyed. Look again at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Together, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. These imposters will be people pretending to be Christ and pretending to be miracle workers. And that's why the Apostle Paul speaks to his spiritual son Timothy. He wants to warn him of what would happen. Would you warn your son about something that will happen 2,000 years from now? The answer is not likely. No one will be living that long. Principles we can apply to our lives. But it's very dangerous to take what Paul was saying to Timothy and then transposing it to 2,000 years later. Look at the Apostle John now, 1 John 2:18, together. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. He does not say the last hour is coming 2,000 years from now, but you are in the last hour now. And you know it is the last hour because these people who are pretending to be Christ but are really antichrists are there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He didn't say, will go out in the course of time, but have already gone out into the world. How many? Many false prophets. If the false prophets were going to come 2,000 years from now, and there are false prophets in the church, but if we were referring to these, why would he warn the people of his day? And one more, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 together. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways. Soon after Peter wrote this, Jerusalem was destroyed. You can read about Peter and Jude, and they were speaking of these snakes that were in the church. They pretended to be pets, doing nice things, but these were destructive preachers, elders, people who looked like they were nice people. And Peter confirmed, like the others before, that those things were happening in his lifetime. But look at specific examples now. We move from the generic to the specific, of people who claimed to be Christ and the prophets and tried to prove that they were Christ by miracles. First of all, Bar Jesus. When the Apostle Paul traveled through Salamis, there were already people claiming to be Messiah there and doing fake miracles. The name Bar Jesus means son of Jesus, but he was not a son of Jesus. He was not a child of Jesus. He just liked to use that name. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 3 together. Now when they had gone through the isle to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. So there's one. Simon, he was another pretender. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 together. But there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. This man is the great power of God. Who was he? He was a pretender. He was a sorcerer. And there's another man named Theudas. Many people followed Theudas, thinking that he was the deliverer. He will rescue the Jewish people from those horrible Romans. And he pretended he could do so by performing miracles. He persuaded a large number of people to follow him to the Jordan River and promised that he would divide it and make them cross over like God had done before through Joshua and so on. Well, he couldn't do it. Eventually, he was killed with his followers. He was a fake Christ. Look at the account in Acts chapter 6, chapter 5, verses 36 and 37 together. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who followed him were dispersed. All who obeyed him were dispersed. This Judas that is mentioned at the end here was likely Judas Galenitis. He was the one who was killed by Pilate, and his blood was mixed with the temple sacrifices, desecrating the temple. But he claimed to be the savior of the people as well, and they all came to nothing. Another prophet, another one who claimed to be Christ, called the people to liberation, saying that God would liberate them. Why? Because there was a cow, apparently, that delivered a lamb. Now, they're likely a scam, a way of fooling the people, because cows don't give birth to lambs. And surely Christians would have heard about that as well. That's why Jesus is giving the warning. Don't be fooled by miracles that these false teachers are going to do. There's another false prophet who pointed out that there was a star above the Jerusalem that was shaped like a sword and said, you see that sword that is there? That's what God will use to destroy the Romans. So you stay here. God will fight and you will win. These were lies, of course. And then Jesus said, you know, if it were possible, because there'll be so many of these false teachers and so many of these fake miracles, or maybe even real miracles. He said, if it was possible, the elect would be deceived. The elect can't be deceived. God will save his people. But he's saying, if that were possible, this evidence would be so great that theoretically they could be deceived. But you know what the Bible says about us. John chapter 10, verse 28 together. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's the security. Don't need to worry. Don't follow these fools, these deceivers. You are in my hand. Lessons, first of all, if you want to be protected against imposters, receive miracles in the Bible that conform doctrines and reject these so-called miracles like you see on TV that collect money. And that's what these guys are always doing when they're doing miracles on television, so-called miracles. They always ask for money. When Christ did miracles, it was to confirm the words that he spoke. Second, if you want to be protected, follow God's word. Don't turn to the left or to the right when people are shouting things for you. This is really important for you young people especially. You will hear all these voices saying, oh, don't follow that foolishness that they're teaching you there. That's all superstition. You need to come where science is, as if science disagrees with the Bible. And what are they doing? They're projecting. The new word is projecting. What they're doing wrong is what they're blaming the church of doing. Evolution is superstitious. Read some of the sermons from R.C. Sproul or listen to his lectures, and you will see that evolution is nothing more than superstition, not science. Wild speculation. And they're saying that's what the church is doing. No, don't let those voices distract you. Look to the word of God, which is consistent with what is observed in science. Remember how there was a prophet going back home in the Bible, and God says, don't stop and go into anybody's house. Remember what happened? Let's read the account in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18. God said, don't go, don't even stop to eat bread or drink water in this place. Get out after you've pronounced the curse of what I was going to do. 1 Kings 13, 18, and then 23 and 24. Together, he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled a donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. When you listen to those strange voices, you are going off to your death. Third lesson. Those who think that these false claims to messiahship only happen now are mistaken. You know, that's what people say. You see, now is the end of, these are the last days. There are people claiming to be Christ. I don't know anyone who claims to be Christ. There may be one or two, might be a few people who claim to be Christ. There are probably some. But nothing like happened in that time. And when Jesus said these things will happen on this generation, and he says many of you who are here will see these things, it's understandable that these signs were referring to the fall, before the fall of Jerusalem. Let's come to our final point. Do not believe the deceivers, for I'm giving you advance warning. See, Jesus said, I have told you beforehand. Christians were warned to pay attention to the common deceptions that would happen 30 years later. Now, who knows what will happen? Can you imagine what happened 30 years before? Could you predict any of these things that we have today? Most people couldn't. The technology, the advancement in science and medical work. And you know, the fact that Jesus gave them this warning beforehand, he meant to tell them, look, you can trust. When you see these things happening, just like I said they would, you would believe me more. You will trust me more. You won't be fooled and run after these Christs, because you know I'm speaking the truth. Paying attention to the word of God would preserve the elect. And in fact, many who were not Christians, according to the Bible and history, follow these false Christs to their own destruction. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12 confirm this, that the people who came to their own destruction because they did not hear the voice of Jesus. They were listening to these false teachers who were giving them false hopes of Jerusalem being rescued from Roman control and Jerusalem becoming a great nation again. That was their destruction. They listened to the wrong voices. So are there lessons we can learn then from this? First of all, watch out for those who claim to speak for Christ, but they don't use his words to speak. Watch out for those who claim to speak for Christ but don't use his words. You have to examine it like the Bereans did. Is this really true? Is this consistent with what Jesus said? You see, the Bible tells us that the scriptures are sufficient. And that's why you should read the scriptures and compare what others say to the scriptures. Reject those who go beyond the Bible. Reject those who go beyond the Bible. We live in a time where people are just enamored with horoscopes, and even Christians get their horoscopes delivered to their mailbox every day. That's beyond what God wants you to know. First of all, those things can't be true because the devil doesn't know your future. He can make you believe that he says something true and then change your behavior in the future. That's the deception. But don't go beyond what scripture says. If you want to know your future, it's wrapped up in one phrase: whatsoever man sows, that he shall he reap also. But don't depend upon those voices. Go to the word of God. And second, in conjunction with that, gullibility, which is often misconstrued as humility, but it's not. Gullibility is very different from humility. Sometimes we just want to get along and don't want to cause too much trouble and want to seem submissive to the church and to the pastors who preach and listen to them. No, no, no. There's a difference between humility and gullibility. People who are gullible will listen and just want to give in. That's not a mark of a saint. That's not a mark of piety. Learn to know God's words so you will not be fooled by those who pretend to speak God's truth. Believing God's words will save you. Following the words of these liars and false Christs and people who pretend to speak God's word but really don't, that will destroy you. That's why Jesus gave this warning. Let's conclude. Jesus warned his people not to be fooled by many deceivers who would appear before Jerusalem was destroyed. And the fact that Jesus gave this warning 30 years before it happened would further confirm that he was speaking the truth. And it was more than Jesus saying what will happen. In fact, this shows that Jesus controlled the future, that he's able to say this. And when the people would see these things happen, just as Jesus said, they would have confidence in him, they would obey him, and serve God in the future. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, three thoughts in concluding. There will always be those who want to undermine and destroy the church of Jesus. They will use force, like the Romans did then, and like false religions do now. You've read where the Hindus in India said, "We will close one church down permanently every week." That's what the communists did. They use force. But then there would be those who use the law, like the Jewish leadership did, and like many in Western countries do today. They use the law as a means of silencing the church. And then there would be those who would use deception, like those the Lord spoke about today. Many false men who came and deceived his people, or tried to deceive his people, just like there are many who are standing in the pulpits of churches that are deceiving the church of God today. That's the reality. What will save you from these deceptions? What will save you from being fooled? Listen carefully to God's word. Believe it. Do what it says. Why would you want to be, why would God want to save you from these deceptions? Why did God want to save those people that Jesus addressed there? Because you are precious to God. He saved you with the blood of his Son. You're special to him. You get that? God doesn't want you to be fooled by the lies that are around that pull you away. You follow the sounds on the side, you will hurt yourself. Finally, like the Jews and deceivers of Jesus' day, if you don't love and serve God, he will destroy you. It's the same thing. He'll protect us because we are his children, but if you're not his, you will meet the same end. Not just the physical destruction, but the eternal destruction in hell. The only way out is to claim Christ as your Savior, the one who lived and died for sinners like you. Ask God to save you. Let us pray. Father, let our ears be trained to your words, that we will follow your directions and be saved from our sins and be sanctified in our lives. Make us deaf to the cries of the wicked, the liars in universities, in public office, even from some pulpits. May we listen to the voice of Jesus. May your Holy Spirit work in us that we will decipher the words of Jesus from the lies of men, so that we can be safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.